Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to John chapter 6, beginning in verse 16. We'll read through verse 24. This is God's word. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed 3 or 3.5 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water. And they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. Don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat. And immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. I love this story. It's told in three of the Gospels. We said about the preceding story of the feeding of the 5,000. That's the only one of the miracles that's in all four Gospels. But, you know, Jesus walking on the water, that's in three of the Gospels. I'm surprised it didn't make all four. But God inspired his word. He knew what he wanted in here for our edification. And this one contains the story of walking on the water. But it doesn't have as much detail as the other two Gospels that tell this story. Both Matthew and Mark give us some little things that I can't overlook, even though I'm preaching from John. But if you want to know the main point that comes across in all three tellings of this story, Jesus leads us into scary situations not to frighten us, but to teach us not to be afraid. So if there's a title for today's message, it's "Don't be afraid." Don't be afraid.
So, Pastor Wood, I can't control my feelings.
You're right. You probably can't. But there's a difference between feeling fear and being afraid. What's the difference? If I feel fear, I'm tempted to behave in a certain way. But if I feel fear and I say no to that temptation and I base my behavior on what I know is true, then I'm not being afraid, I'm simply feeling fear. I've used this illustration before, but I'll keep using it as long as I can. I mentioned recently in a devotional that you have a temperature whether or not you have a fever. You remember that, some of you? But you don't necessarily have a fever just because you have a temperature. Now, sometimes people say, does he have a temperature? Well, yeah. If you're dead, you have a temperature, okay? It's whatever your environment is. If you've died but been left here in the room, then your temperature is probably 71 degrees right now, okay? Because that's the room temperature. But if you're healthy, and we took your temperature right now, it would be close to 98.6.
Mine's only 97.
Well, it's true of my wife as well. She normally has a cooler body temperature. But I'll tell you this, if we take your temp and it's like 101 or 102 or 103, you're sick. Your body is fighting infection and it has raised the temperature. So when the temperature in, I don't know, another week or so gets cold outside, some of you are going to say, man, I'm cold. No, you're not. You're about 98.6 because your body has a design from God that really works wonderfully and keeps it at a fairly normal temperature. What you mean is not that you're cold. You mean I feel cold. Okay? You feel cold. You're not cold. You can learn to do that with fear as well. Just because you feel fear, just because you're being attacked by a spirit of fear, perhaps, does not mean that you have to be afraid. In fact, God is saying to you, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. You can feel fear. Not going to stop that. But you don't have to give in to the fear. You don't have to let the fear control your behavior. When we lived on Cape Cod, we rented an old house, and it had a basement that was, let's say, an unfinished basement. Okay, that would be putting it kindly. But the washer and dryer were down in the basement. That's where the laundry hookup was. And so in order to do laundry for our family, which was a mom and a dad and three little kids, in order to do that, somebody had to go down in the basement. Well, I was working 80, 90 hours a week. And so my wife was charged with the responsibility of doing the laundry and a lot of other things too. And she didn't want to. And she was embarrassed to admit even to herself that the reason was not because she was lazy. The reason was because she was afraid to go into the basement. Because when you went down those creaky stairs into this darkened area where you pull a string to turn the light on, there was an area behind the stairs that wasn't dug out as a basement. It was just a crawl space. And so it was dirt. And it looked like a perfect habitat for spiders and rodents and various things. And my wife was, she's loved Jesus since before I met her. That's why I fell in love with her, was she loved Jesus so much. But my wife realized that she was allowing fear to control her and that this was grieving the Lord. She was praying, Lord, what would you have me to do with something else in mind? And she said, it wasn't an audible voice, but it might as well have been, because God said, do the laundry. It wasn't me, I promise. I was at work. Okay. But God, by his Spirit, impressed on her, if you want to do my will, you're a wife and mom. Do the laundry. She thought, oh. But she began claiming the verses in God's word. Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I don't have to be afraid. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of self-control. She began to confess the truth of God's word and base her behavior on that instead of on how she was feeling. And you know what? She overcame that spirit of fear. She learned to do what needed to be done instead of letting her feelings control her behavior. Jesus leads us into scary situations, not because he's mean, not because he's cruel, not because he enjoys seeing us afraid, but because he wants us to learn not to be afraid.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
And so, he's holding out his hand. Look at the story. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake where they got into a boat. If you check it out in Matthew chapter 14 and in Mark chapter 6, you will find they didn't just get into a boat. Jesus commanded them to get into the boat and go to the other side of the lake. That's why they were in the boat when the storm came up. Several of these guys had made their living as commercial fishermen on that lake. And it was not a very encouraging scene as they got in the boat. Jesus made them get into the boat and commanded them to go to the other side of the lake, to Capernaum. Okay? That's why they were in the lake trying so hard to row across to the other side. They got about 3.5 miles, but the storm was against them. And again, check it out in the other Gospels. You find that they got to where they're working and working and rowing, and they're not able to make forward progress. That's exhausting, and it's frustrating. And when Jesus came to them, it was the third watch of the night. That means the last part of the night. Okay? It's the darkest time, and they're exhausted. Some of you are desperately trying to do what God has said to do, and you feel like you're not making progress. You're really trying. You're working hard at it, but you're stuck in the middle of the lake, in the dark, exhausted, frustrated, but you're keeping at it because Jesus commanded it. But it's not a happy time in the boat, okay? The disciples were having a real hard time. And as they're in this situation, suddenly they see something. They thought they had a problem before they saw this. But when they saw it, they were terrified. It says in the other Gospels that they immediately concluded that it was a ghost. Well, why would they think that? Because people can't walk on the water, right? They saw what to them could only be a ghost. Because it looked like Jesus, but he's walking on the water. And they didn't say, oh good, here comes Jesus. Thinking that it was a ghost, they cried out in fear. Ahoy! No manly call here. The term that's used describes what happens when people scream in terror. I'm so glad that the Gospels are honest and these guys tell the truth about themselves. Okay? They were terrified and they cried out in fear. John condenses it and simply says, they were terrified. That's all you need to know. We're not going to talk about the ghost thing. We're not going to talk about the screaming. We did sound pretty pathetic, but I'll just leave that out under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, okay? And let some other gospel writer include those details. They were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. Don't be afraid." See, if Jesus had sent them out there and then done this walking on the water thing in order to scare them, when they cried out in fear, he could have gone, "Ooh," or some other silliness. But he didn't do that. He didn't even wait. He immediately said, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." Literally, he said, "I am." That's the name of God. "I am. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." I don't know why we don't translate it that way, but I guess it's because it's not the way we talk. Well, that's because we're not God. Jesus is. That was the first thing in John 1 that John wanted us to know about Jesus, whom he's introducing. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So Jesus said, "I am. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." But then there's something else that John focuses on that the others don't mention in the same way. Look at what happened after Jesus got in the boat. And again, leaving out the part about Peter walking to him, Peter beginning to sink, Jesus rescuing him, and then saying, "Oh, you of little faith." Okay? That's in another gospel. There's no contradiction between these gospel accounts. Nothing like, "Oh, well, that can't be true because over here it says this." No, it's all true. But God inspired the different gospel writers to emphasize particular things, all of which we need. Verse 22. "The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but that they'd gone away alone." So they're puzzled by this. Okay? In verse 25, they're going to say to him when they catch up with him, "Rabbi, when did you get here? We got in the first boat that we saw. Did you catch an earlier boat? I mean, what happened? How did you get to the other side of the lake?" is the implied question in the section we're going to look at next time. But they realized Jesus hadn't entered it with his disciples. The disciples had gone away alone. "Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks." That is the thing that John says that most folks overlook. This thing about people eating bread, well, what is that? Well, you know what that is. That's the feeding of the 5,000 men plus women and children. This apex of miraculous miracles. This was a miracle. Jesus had done this stellar miracle, and John describes it as the place where he gave thanks. Please look at that. "Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten." That's what the people had done. "After the Lord had given thanks." That's what Jesus had done. He had given thanks. That's central to the miracle. That is at the heart of what Jesus did. He gave thanks. He's facing a hungry crowd, and he wants to feed them, and the only physical resource that he has to draw upon is 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. That's all there is. And Jesus gave thanks. Are you giving thanks for what you have? Give thanks. Jesus did. So, Once they realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and they went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. What's the main point? Jesus put his disciples in a scary situation because he loved them. And it wasn't going to be the last time they were in a scary situation. Jesus would warn them that there are going to be people who are out to kill them. And most of them would die a martyr's death. But Jesus wanted them to live without fear, to be people of courage. And that's what he wants for you. You're going to face difficulties in this life. You can face it with fear, cowering in the corner, terrified. I don't want to go to the doctor. I'm afraid of what he might say. You can let fear control your behavior, or you can trust God, love the truth, whatever it is. So, Pastor Wood, I listened to what you said, and then I went to the doctor, and he did have a bad diagnosis for me. And? I have a dear friend who called me years ago and said, I have just been diagnosed with cancer. And knowing this friend, I said to her, with her husband on the phone, to what I say to person after person, this is why people love me, is because I say comforting things like this. I said, well, you need to know that you may not live long enough to die of this disease. Ha! I feel so much better now. Well, the person didn't die. They're still doing well. Did they have any recurrence of the cancer? Yeah. And they're still walking in faith. Because you may not die of cancer, but you're going to die. Don't be afraid of death. I mean, that's silly. I mean, that's like, you know, I don't want to look in the mirror anymore. I'm afraid I might have two eyes. You got two, all right? Thank God for it. So I should thank God for my problems? Yes. Because if those problems drive you to him, it's a blessing. You're saying two eyes is a problem? No, I would vastly prefer it over one or three. But I'm saying whatever your circumstances are is what they are. But that's not the whole story. If you went and looked in the mirror and all that was there was two eyes, that would be a reason to be startled. Okay? Where'd my head go? Don't worry, you wouldn't be able to say that because you wouldn't have a mouth. Just understand this. The facts are facts. Okay? Don't be afraid. Don't run from the truth. Don't hide from the truth. God knows the end from the beginning. Dear old Corrie ten Boom used to say, there's never a panic in heaven. Believe that. Here's a woman who survived Nazi concentration camp, and she was the only member of her family who was put in a Nazi camp and survived. Her sister, Betsy, who was such an inspiration to her, died there in the camp. So what was her attitude? She spent the rest of her life traveling the world, warning people, there's trouble out there. Better stay home. Don't take chances. No. She spent the rest of her life traveling the world, telling people, there is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I am, said Jesus. Don't be afraid.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.